number two. We are now on item number 12, 2423, in regards to Melanie Peters, EBM. Oh, and please note that Dr. Thompson is recused on this item.
Case 2423, the complainant is Daniela Godoy, and the respondent is Melanie Peters, DVM. On June 27, 2023, Coco Chanel, a 10-year-old spayed female French bulldog, was presented to respondent for mastectomy and facial mass removal. Diagnostics were performed. Leukopenia and thrombocytosis were noted on the blood work, which were likely due to stress and chronic inflammation and or infection. Complainant declined chest radiographs and biopsies of the masses. The mastectomy and facial mass removal were performed, and the dog was discharged later that afternoon. On the afternoon of July 2nd, 2023, the dog seized. Later that evening, the pet had another seizure. On July 3rd, 2023, the dog was presented to respondent for seizures. Diagnostics were performed. Respondent discussed results with complainant, and referral to a neurologist was recommended. Since anti-epileptic drugs were declined, respondent offered to start the dog on a course of steroids in case the seizures were related to inflammation. Complainant agreed. On July 10th, 2023, the dog was presented to respondent for a recheck. The incision sites were healed, therefore the sutures were removed. Complainant reported that the dog seized that day, or the day before, which left the pet disoriented and possible vision loss. Respondent again referred the dog to a neurologist and recommended starting the dog on an anticonvulsant. Complainant agreed, and zonisamide was prescribed. On July 18th, 2023, complainant reported to respondent that her pet was vocalizing. Complainant felt that this was a side effect of the zonisamide. A neurology referral was again recommended. Complainant requested a prescription of a different anti-seizure medication that I can't pronounce right now. On July 19, 2023, the complainant reported that the pharmacy could not fill the strength of the medication respondent prescribed. Therefore, she was provided with a list of compounding pharmacies. Complainant stopped the zonisamide and that evening and started the pet on CBD oil and a liver detox diet. On July 21st, 2023, the pet was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Thank you, Tracy. We do not have the complaint in front of it. We do have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring only, thank you.
Monitoring, okay. And my apologies. Who's leading?
I am, Dr.
Okay.
Byrne.
Thank you, that's right. All right, take it away.
So in reviewing the case, Dr. Melanie Peters, in the case of Coco Chanel, she had successfully done the surgery. The dog was presented to her initially, the facial mass and mastectomy. It all went well. Upon the representation of the dog, the seizures, the blood work that was pulled to look for extracranial versus intracranial causes of seizures was done. The blood work, I didn't see anything that pointed to an extracranial cause. And I think the recommendation of the anti-seizure medication was proper and correct, even though it was denied on several occasions. Ultimately, was trout treated with the anti-inflammatories. Stitches healed, took them out. They put her on the anti-seizure medication for a period of time, then made a switch to a side effect that never actually happened. Withdrew the anticonvulsant medication from the dog, and then had subsequent decline. So I would agree with the investigative committee's findings, fact, and recommendations, and recommend dismissal.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2423. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair, highlighted a few things. One thing, I mean, this dog had problems that were ongoing for 4 years, its mammary mass at least. It was an ongoing problem for 4 years before it was addressed. Repeatedly declined any treatment, diagnostics over that time, refused to treat an incontinence problem with the dog and instead wanted to put it in diapers for year after year after year. So to try to associate whatever happened with this dog to the last event, the last medical event that happened to it is probably not a sane argument. I mean, there are so many things that could have been wrong when this dog was not properly attended by the owner, period.
Thank you. Took the words right out of my mouth. So anything else anyone wants to add on this one?
Yeah, I would have been like to have known more about when it was euthanized and about the necropsy. That would have been very telling whether that was declined or offered. We don't have anything on that. The only thing I saw in the case was when we were trying to control those seizures and medicate those seizures, and the respondent prescribed 125 milligrams per ml of Capra. That's the easier way to do it.
Yes, thank you.
The pharmacy only had the 100 milligram strength, so they went around. Why not change the amount given? I just didn't understand why not just change the amount given and whether that is, rises to a violation. I don't think so. But I'm very curious if anybody else. Saw that or thought it was a problem?
I thought it was odd.
Yeah.
I mean, use what's available.
Just change the amount given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adapt.
Yeah. Obviously, it was severe neurological disease. We have no idea why. We could suppose all we wanted, but we don't know.
All right, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2423. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are going to continue on. So number 13 is 2424 in regards to Brenda Reed, DVM.
Case 2424, the complainant is Judith Ravner. And the respondent is Brenda Reed, DVM. On March 31st, 2023, Lily, a 12-year-old female Havanese, was hospitalized at an emergency facility due to suspected liver disease. Diagnostics were performed. So some liver issues and Cushing's was suspected. On April 11th, 2023, respondent evaluated the dog. Blood work was performed, which revealed improved liver values. The plan was to test for Cushing's disease in a month. On June 6, 2023, a low-dose DEXA suppression test was performed, and the results were consistent with Cushing's. Vetrol was started, and on June 29, 2023, an ACTH stimulation test was performed. Vetrol dose was divided into to give twice a day. On August 1, 2023, the dog was presented to respondent for vomiting, lethargy, resolving diarrhea, and a change in respiration. A new heart murmur was identified. Diagnostics were performed, including radiographs and blood work. No change in the dog's treatment regimen was warranted at that time. On August 3rd, 2023, complainant's husband called respondent's premises to report that the dog was breathing heavy and coughing. Staff recommended taking the dog to an emergency facility. Later that day, the dog was presented to respondent's premises. Bronchitis was suspected and doxycycline, sirenia, and a cough suppressant was prescribed. On August 4, 2023, due to the dog not doing well and being difficult to medicate, the dog was presented to respondents' premises to administer the dog's oral medication. At discharge, the pet owners were provided a printout of local emergency facilities due to their limited hours over the next 3 days. Later that evening, the dog collapsed in the backyard. The dog was presented to an emergency facility where death was confirmed. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-1 with Dr. Rye opposed.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the complainants. We do have Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring only, thank you.
And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yes, with this case, I feel that there's a lot that talks about the Cushing's disease, but I feel that as we move towards the conclusion of this case, the heart murmur came into play. And there's some questions that I have around that piece. One of the complainant's concerns was the communication with the veterinarian, because the veterinarian was communicating via email. Sounds like some of those concerns were addressed in the initial investigation. Sounds like there had been some history with the owner and the veterinarian in their communication styles. But you know, going back to the heart murmur and the radiographs, I'd love to get others' perspectives on the radiographs. There were some concerns that the radiographs kind of went to one area, but then even the consultation didn't necessarily reflect that. So there was talk that we may have seen some indication of some congestion, but the radiologist report didn't indicate that, and the doctor was going off of the radiologist report and working up the remainder of the case. So I guess I have some questions on what others feel about that.
I agree, that's the sudden matter here, is those radiographs. The sudden onset of the murmur, the radiographs, and we have the radiology report and the sudden death of the dog. I would agree with those that say the radiographs were abnormal. So we get into this, well, where is the responsibility of the doctor at that point? Do you go, okay, I got a radiologist report, or should I question it? I personally have, not very often, but I have.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that's a difficult part, right? Like, we rely on specialists, because they're supposed to be, and so for some of us, you look at an x-ray and you're like, well, I'm kind of unsure, mm-hmm. and this is why we go to a specialist, right? Because they're supposed to be that end-all, and so the doctor is relying on that information. I think the other thing that really kind of caused me pause was, I guess, just the feeling that the heart murmur wasn't a concern. That finding that a brand new heart murmur in a pet at this stage was just kind of, and that they didn't, that there wasn't any feeling that other treatments could be done besides referring to a cardiologist, and a recommendation to a cardiologist wasn't either. So my initial thoughts were, you know, do we do a letter of concern, or, you know, we talk about the using a referral, you know, it's important to use a referral if we feel that it's going to increase the value of the veterinary care. And I guess where I'm mixed feelings, I don't know if the respondent recognized that there was an issue.
With the radiographs?
With radiographs, or even the fact that we had this sudden onset of significant murmur and a dog that's now coughing. So I'm leaning toward looking at it as normal on this. So I guess I'll make a motion to take it to an informal.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Solomon, go ahead.
Yes, I have a quick question of Dr. Thompson, Dr. Nosley, Dr. James, Dr. Byrne, whoever would like to comment. On item 22 on page 5 of the investigative report, it says respondent stated that she did not assess the dog as being in critical condition. Do you agree or disagree with that? The heart murmur,
there certainly was a huge distance between what the complainant was saying about the dog's condition and how the doctor felt.
Yes.
There was certainly that.
Yes.
She had the dog in the exam kennel and she didn't feel it was correct.
Okay.
I guess we have to go by that. I think, like Dr. Thompson said, the much more concerning is we've got a murder now that you show up. That is more concerning than whether you made an assessment of it being critical. The heart murmur just showed up and it wasn't really addressed. And I'll say from my experience, a ruptured chordae, if you're fortunate, I've only one time been able to radiograph a dog like that. It looks exactly like that. Radiograph. A big flabby sack.
Okay.
stab heart. That's one case. But it goes to, should the report have been questioned or not?
Just a quick follow-up, if I may. Was it the suddenness of the heart murmur, the fact that it was new, or the 3 out of 6, or both?
Well, that's the 3 out of 6, that's very, very subjective. I've had doctors on the other side of the table with me listening to a heart say this is a 1 or 2, and yet I say it's a 4. So that can be pretty subjective, the clinical signs. I mean, it's good to report that, but yeah, you shouldn't ignore a 3 out of 6. If you truly think it's a 3 out of 6, maybe you ought to address that. I guess I think that's the point.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to send this case to an informal. If there's no further questions or discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are going to take about a 15-minute lunch break or so, and then we will reconvene right around 1:30 or so before. And then we will start off with the informals. Thank you.